I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbush, if you could call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Present.
Mr. Knight?
Present.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Item 2, building update. Mr. Carmody.
Thanks, everybody, for coming tonight. The board has a packet up here. We've got a few extras up here. We can allow people to kind of share.
Do you guys want me to turn the light out?
Kind of tape one.
Invisible. You okay?
Share with your neighbors. We're going to start on the back page of this. So two different things we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to discuss the design of the field house. This page here is showing the design of the secure entrance at the middle school, soon to be the elementary. So if you notice, it says Norton Elementary, MKC. By the way, I introduced Paul Mullen. He's here from MKC. So he'll be here to kind of answer some questions that I can't. He's kind of our primary designer. Matt Collier, I'm sure. You guys know in the back, he's with CT Taylor. I'm sure at some point he'll join the conversation. So as we look at this, the area you're looking at is on the north side of the building. So I've got my laser pointer and my arm's not long enough. So if you look at the top right corner, that's the door entry coming in, and to the right is the music room. Okay.
Jake.
So what you're looking at down here, and I'll kind of zoom in here.
Jake.
So the music area is over here, the art area is over here in the current middle school. So what we'll do is our proposition is to make this is all locker rooms right now. So we will basically demolish that area. This is locker rooms as well. I'm going to say about right in here are the offices for PE. So what we'll do is, so let me zoom into that. I kind of wanted to keep this area. This is the entrance when you walk in this side door right here. Will be the reception area, principal's office off to the left, and then some more offices in the back. I feel like we've done a good job of.
That was better. That was better if you turned it off.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Excuse me, you're drawing them to the right. North is to the right?
To the right.
Okay.
Yes. This is a different version. This is the corner. That might be too. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, fire room over this.
Is it easier on your view?
Same thing. That'll be. All right, so looking at this area here. So this is really the whole office space. And I'll scroll down a little bit, because what we're doing is this space down here ends up being a classroom, because we're taking away a classroom in this area, then all this is locker room space. So in order to have the number of classrooms that we need for the elementary, we needed to relocate that. So it really goes in the other hallway. And what I didn't bring is, it actually creates in the building almost like four different pods of eight classrooms, which is a nice setup for our district, because we'll have kind of be able to have grade level pods down there, depending on, you know, where they put different grade levels. I'm not going to choose that. That'll be up for the building administrators. But it can kind of keep them all located together. So first with first, second with second, so forth and so on. So that works out well. But basically, we have our secure vestibule here. This door would be locked all the time. They'd come in, get buzzed into the office, and then they could check in here. We've got a principal office here, another principal's type office over here, and then we could actually have a third office in here, or we could use it as storage depending on what we would want to do with people in that area. We have a nice big clinic. That was one thing. I sat down with all the principals, been looking at the design, and the more cots, the better. They'd have probably made 12 cots in there if they could, but obviously we're going to use that quite that much space. But there's a nice full-size clinic in here, spot for the nurse to work in here. It's also kind of secure away from the area, you know, the initial entrance area. So because some of our patients now, you walk in and you're staring right in at the clinic, and you know, if I'm sick and I'm a kid in there, I don't necessarily want a whole bunch of people looking at me all day. So we moved the kind of door over here. Nice big work area here with a bunch of storage. And then this would be kind of a staff work room with a copier. All the mailboxes are in here. Some nice cabinetry and counter space there to work on. Conference rooms here, men and women's restroom. And then we just have a technology closet that would help tie all that area in. It'll be a really nice space. I don't want to say it's pretty straightforward, but it was about the best use of that space that we could come up with. We're adding a few windows in there to get a little bit of lighting in there. But that's the general setup of it.
So there's no, with this setup here, there's no handing off or ability to hand off stuff without people walking in the building?
Correct. The idea would be that the building would be secure. This is a very similar setup to what we put in to the new high school, is that in order for someone to enter in the building, unless they have specific access and keys and so forth, they have to come in through the secure entrance. They have to check in.
So there's the door they come in, then there's another door before they would enter in the actual school, right there.
So different philosophies, but a lot of districts I've been in, they leave the outside set open so that people can get in out of the weather, because we do live in Ohio. These doors during the day would be locked. Now, at the beginning of the school day, those would be unlocked. You know, kids need to get in and out pretty freely at that point. But at a certain time, we would lock those down, and then people would literally be in this vestibule until they get buzzed in by the receptionist. So they're kind of stuck in the vestibule until they're allowed into the building. That's the idea behind the secure entrance. It does sometimes take a little bit more time. I know when I was at Green, you know, we were little old Wayne County, and 7 or 8 years ago, we didn't lock our front doors. All of our buildings were wide open. One of the last few shootings that we had, we decided to lock the doors because a lot of people wanted that. But we also had the other side of, we had some people getting upset because, you know, why are you locking me out of the building? It's like, well, we'll come let you in. So education is hard. You always fight the, let's be more secure, but we still need to make it accessible. So, but the idea behind that secure entrance is allow them to get in the vestibule, and then it takes a little effort to get in the building. Any other questions? Yes?
I think maybe, Lewis, this is what you were referring to. I was on the safety and security committee, and when we toured Barberton, I believe it was Barberton, they had like a deal drawer, like a transactional drawer, that, you know, if your child forgot the lunch, you could just put it, you don't get access to the school per se, but you could put it in there, send it over, the receptionist can handle it without you coming and going through the office area and having access to the kids.
Okay, and we can look into that, if that's something, I mean, not that, that's not necessarily a bad idea.
Yeah, I just say, I mean, that's I thought during the safety and security committee, that was one of the major points that we were hoping, even at the high school. I think it was a good feature, but I mean, you know, I know.
Now, at the high school, they do have like, and I was more told it was the attendance window. So the kids necessarily, you know, could come into the vestibule.
What's the door? Can I see your little pointer?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So this is the main?
That door is locked, that door and the inside door of the vestibule, not that one. That door and the double door right to the...
Those?
Yeah. Those are locked down during the day, so people can get into the vestibule, but they have to be buzzed into the office.
And so this comes into the office and this...
And that goes out too.
So why couldn't we have, what's this?
That's actually, Paul, what was in there?
Downspout, roof drain.
Downspout for the roof drain, so we have to move that.
So what about this? Is that like a piece of glass?
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
So then we could do maybe a service, because Angie's right there. Barberton had a service style, you know, and they basically said students forget items and lunches and things of that nature, and that's what keeps them out of the building, so they don't come into the building. And that's one of the things our committees really liked, was that particular setup. But their counter, or their style of counter, was separate. So this workable counter was this way. So does that change the flow, obviously, because of this entrance exit?
Well, it changed the flow. However, it would create a harder path to get into the building, which wouldn't necessarily...
You've got to have an egress. But I think that was definitely a major thing out of our committee.
Okay.
What was that?
I mean, I think in an elementary school, I guess you'd have to ask probably the admin there how much traffic they get for just dropping off. You forgot your gym shoes, or you forgot your lunch, or whatever.
Well, we can take that into consideration, see how it would work in there. That's a good thing about ideas before they're built.
Yeah. Well, if you got that extra window, that would be easy.
Where did you suggest the window be?
If that door right there, there's that's probably an extra window, glass to let light in.
Yeah, it's probably a side light. So in the original design.
That's where I would put it. And that way, it would be easy for the administrative staff to walk up.
Correct.
And then they could see safely through the window, see who's coming. You're going to have, where's the camera feeds? You're going to have camera feeds there. You know, Barberton and the other, you know, that was another thing, is the positions of the monitors, so that everybody in the office can have good monitors.
We haven't gotten that far yet. I mean, there will be cameras in the area. We have a current camera system already that's web-based, so it wouldn't be very hard to dial in a camera or two and put it up on a monitor.
So they can see who's entering and exiting.
And a lot of our buildings do that already. Secretaries, some principals, I believe, and Angie can speak to this, might have a second monitor, and I've seen it a lot.
They got
a second monitor just hooked up to their computer, and they're just, that sits up there all day.
Yeah.
So.
And then additional outside the door, the middle school ones are right within the main entrance.
And we're in the process of integrating all of our door lock systems to the newer system that will be in the high school, so it'll be a little bit more, I would say, user-friendly, as well as some of the camera systems. We did integrate the camera system at the high school with our current camera system, so that will hopefully be a seamless, no training. It'll just add more cameras. Angie's laughing because as soon as we think we're not training, we end up training.
And the positioning of this entrance, where are we at with, I mean, and I know it's going to be easier down there, but when you look and you picture the mornings here, with Cornerstone and Primary. This is the best place, best fit. Have we figured out the...
Yeah, we've got a pretty good idea on what we think the traffic flow will look like. Basically, the playground is going to eventually move, and we haven't dialed that in completely. But where the playground and all that fence is now, that will just become parking, and that will basically become the parent loop. So they would loop all the way in the parking lot and come up right by these doors, and then the bus loop would stay in the big area in front, and that would separate them. See, now they kind of do that, but they're driving like through the middle. It's just not very smooth down there right now. So in moving that playground out of there, that will give a nice big parent loop on that whole side of the building that keeps it away from the bus.
So morning kids are dropped off where they are today, go through those doors.
Correct. And bus kids can still go in the front doors. We will have those unlocked at the beginning of the day.
Right.
But they won't be, you know, after the bus is let out, that what's now the front entrance will get locked. And depending on cost, we could put new doors in there to have them automatically lock. But right now, it would just be a custodian going up there every day and making sure they get locked. Which they do right now. They have them open at the beginning of the day, then they get locked, and then they have to buzz them in. But we have the issue of, obviously, they're buzzing them in and looking through a little camera. This secure entry is so much better because when they're buzzing them in, this is a glass door and a glass window, and they're looking right at the person that they're buzzing into the building. As well as they'll put a camera on them.
Where's the locker room going to go?
There will not be a locker room in this building. Don't see a need in the elementary for a locker room.
We don't have a locker room in our elementary now.
Yeah, like for example, Cornerstone doesn't have one.
The middle school will have a gym, but what if due to gym space, again, I mean, I know we're talking about the field house, but how would that affect, because that's a big gym that could be utilized.
I still see that gym getting used, but it once again, it'd be no different than when some of our groups use Cornerstone. You know, they're probably in a restroom.
True. Well, I forgot that the gym or the locker room was changed to the office there.
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, I think, especially as we get in our next conversation of a field house, that will be the literal last gym that they decide to use. Because if you haven't been in there, it's not gym floor. It's floor tile.
Right.
And it's very slippery. And yeah. I mean, it's usable. It's an open space. But I think the groups that will use that typically aren't very involved in the locker room space anyways. They're going to come ready, take their sweats off, and practice.
Are there any proposed changes to the front of the current front of the building?
We have not investigated that at all.
Okay.
What are they going to do with the office that's there now?
That office that's there now, actually, in talking with the three principals, that'll be a good area for school psychologist, school counselor. Can use some special ed space up there because it's kind of set up with a nice area in the middle, four small rooms on the outside that they can use as their offices, as well as we could maybe section that off a little bit to create some instruction areas for kids. So, you know, they've kind of got that earmarked for academic space that I think would be well needed.
And because we've talked about so much, I forget if we already have, but the kitchen is sufficient enough to handle all the elementary kids there? I mean, obviously I know the eating space is.
Yes.
But
no, they're confident that they'll be able to serve the elementary kids in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. So by not doing anything to the front of the building, I mean, that should kind of maintain a little bit of the cost.
Correct.
By just renovating the side?
Yes.
Okay.
I think doing anything to the front of the building would be very costly. Because you're going up steps right away, and it's, I mean, right. You can't do this wall at all.
I think it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And just a little side note, what we plan on doing is kind of similar to some of the areas we did in the kitchen here. We basically plan on building walls all the way around this, so you're not looking at necessarily a painted wall. It gives us the ability to run the technology and electrical easier that needs to be there. So it'll be nice, smooth drywall finish. It will look somewhat similar to new construction. So all new drop ceilings, all new LED lighting.
I think, you know, one of the key points, and I want to thank Jake and MKC, is, you know, through this whole process of the new high school and pretty much doing things with what we have, I think it's great. I think it looks good. I mean, and best use of funds, so.
Speaking of funds, what's the proposed?
I think we originally, and Dave remind me of the number, said for this whole, and we're talking playground, parking lot, and this area, we were shooting around for a $600,000.
Yeah, actually, we had put in a little bit more than that, more like $750,000, with the hopes that it would be about $600,000.
And I think what we kind of do, especially in the phasing of it, we use this area, let's get this right, and we use this to kind of figure out how much do we do in the playground. Because I think Paul used the word when we were talking about the new parking lot area, I mean, and the new, that could almost be a facelift and a paint job. I mean, now at some point, I think that parking lot's going to need a little TLC. But if we don't do that part of it, if we just restripe it, get the fence out of there, do some patching of where the fence posts are, you know, we could cut some costs there. I mean, I would like to say we had enough money. Let's just once again do that right at the same time. Get the old, I think it's chip and seal down there. Get that out of there. Do it right. Put in asphalt. But after we price this project, I think we evaluate that. Same with the playground. We need to have a playground down there. But do we need the most expensive playground? Let's see where our funds are off of this and then look at, because you can phase in a playground in some different pieces easier than phasing in a project like this. That kind of all needs to be done. So what I kind of propose is that we get with CT Taylor, who's the construction manager for this, and we do a GMP for this project. That will get us our price, and then we can start looking at the other phases of that new elementary project to see how extensive do we go. To me, I would go with the playground next, because kids are going to use that every day. The adults can wear it. I mean, they can drive over a little bumpy parking lot every once in a while. So get a nice playground going, and then evaluate how much do we have left, how much do we need to make that new parking lot area in flow as good as we can.
Jake, is any of our equipment, Cornerstone seems more usable as far as playground equipment. I think isn't primary is more, well, primary is still going
to
house
primary
kindergarten
really
so,
needs to
or
stay.
Something, yeah.
Can I take this one, Jake?
You can take
Lose it. Loose, not playground stuff that's at Cornerstone has been moved once. A lot of times, the insurance requirements and the certification on that playground equipment won't carry more than one move. So by the time you buy new posts, you're probably better off buying new equipment at that point in time than trying to relocate that stuff down there.
But one thing that I will do is I will do a cost analysis on both. I'll get somebody in and tell me how much it's going to take to move it. I'll talk to the insurance companies, how much it's going to take to insure it. Because if it's more, you know, if you're paying a yearly cost to insure it every year more than it would be because you're on, you know, move number three, then you're looking at the longevity of it. But a lot of times, depending on the age of your equipment, sometimes it's almost, by the time you pay somebody to come and get it out, whether they're cutting it off and rewelding or not, you've got a lot more labor costs than if they're just bringing it in and setting it in.
We didn't win a contest or something, didn't we all get online and vote?
We did try. The problem is you've got me involved in trying to help that contest, and I never win anything.
Okay.
Like that, so.
All right.
Who's our lucky person?
Are there any plans to put a fence around the playground down there?
Down at the new, that will be part of the proposal when we look at it. You know, believe it or not, if you start buying fence, it's always staggering how much fence costs. But I mean, that'll be kind of part of the process of, you know, do we put the fence in now? Do we, you know, because where we're proposing, just imagine the middle school, and I should have brought this picture. I didn't know we're going to get in this depth, which is good though. I need to hear all this. the one field that's right behind what is now the sixth grade wing. So they'll be able to walk right out that sixth grade wing, which is right there by the cafeteria, and the playground will be in that area, which is kind of a nice, secure behind the building location.
And I like the location, but you still have houses anybody can walk up.
Correct.
Yep.
Having a barrier there would be a good idea.
There are so many more kids, too, that yeah, I would prefer that. If I had it.
Angie, how much can we put you down for?
Yeah.
Hey, look, I pay plenty of taxes. Don't you worry. You know it.
Any other elementary school questions?
Oh, I just have a question for you, Stephanie. I mean, this is still all within our budget.
Yes.
That we had looked at.
Correct.
Months ago. Right. Okay.
As long as we stay under those numbers, we're good to go.
Okay.
All right, let's go back to the first page.
I got it.
Thanks. That's good. Go ahead.
You got a hat? I have sunglasses. You want those?
I look a little funny in the dark.
All right, so now we switch to the discussion of, and it's kind of hard to see up here, trying to fit a whole building in. One thing, but in discussing, this is really some of the first views we're getting this as well. MKC worked very hard, because we just met last week and talked about this, to kind of get some different ideas, and I think as we look at this, some things we need to focus. So last meeting we decided, all right, we're doing this thing, we're building a field house. So this is a little bit different than what C.T. Taylor had proposed, and Dave, you were right, it is slightly larger. The main difference is, in looking at the sizes of, this area is really the same, and we go to page two, we see the mezzanine, and Paul felt like, in order to really, one of the main things he said is maybe put a batting cage up there. Really, in order to do that, we kind of need to move the mechanicals out of that area, which will be on the second floor, to really give enough area for the batting cage. So this area you see here, when you flip to page two, you know, the mechanicals are on top of it, and it's titled field maintenance. It's basically outside storage, whatever that area would be. So that's kind of the basic design. It's a hair larger than the original kind of proposal, but it's basically the same thing. We've got toilet areas here. You know, one thing in talking, we took out a concession area, the original one, and that was kind of pulling somebody else's. I mean, I think CTCR maybe pulled that from Orville. But in discussions, we weren't necessarily holding events here that needed concessions, so why would we put in a concession booth? We really just turned it to storage. It's also flexible the way it's, and I'll just put this in here and write in the paper and blame it on me, but you know, I had the idea of possibly in the future, if we ever decided to maybe move phys ed out of our competition gym, because I will tell you the hardest thing on a really nice gym floor is a bunch of people with the wrong shoes and they're dirty and they're grinding into your floor all year long. So this area out here is really more built for that. So you could put in, you know, and this is just an idea, this is not anybody saying we have to do this. You could put in kind of changing areas next to these, the men and female restrooms, to create kind of like phys ed locker rooms over there. But also give phys ed a little space that's kind of their own. Yeah, they'd have to walk outside from time to time when it's cold. Our vocational students do it all the time now. But I mean, that's just an idea looking at, as a former, I can also speak as a former basketball coach. You know, we really had to watch the gym floor and clean the gym floor and help the custodians with the gym floor. Close district nearby, I coached at Coventry, and their high school gym floor was their main phys ed gym floor, and it was just a mess all the time. So just an idea in that space that I'm bringing.
You can do that with this right here, what you're showing, or it'd have to be changed?
Well, we'd have to change the design. So as we're looking at this situation. So the reason I brought this up, there was actually a point besides moving phys ed over there, is that as we look at this, the design, we're kind of need to look at the size of what we want to build, All right? We're talking possible locational in the future. So what shell do we do? And then how do we design the internal parts of that shell to accomplish the goal that we want?
Question for you on that, though. If, because this has weight room listed here, the weight room's not, that's just,
I necessarily wouldn't look at all the names.
But let me, because one of the things when Jake mentioned the idea of phys ed.
Right.
The phys ed classes use the weight room.
Okay.
So if we do that, then the weight room would come out here. In my opinion, the option then would be to move the weight room into the field house, which then creates a natural indoor space for a career tech program inside the new building where the weight room is. In my opinion, we're looking at several different ways to potentially create space for different things.
Right.
One of them being the career tech program. And it's a matter of preference at that point. Do you want to put the weight room in phys ed locker rooms out here and have the career tech inside? You want to do vice versa? But it creates those options.
I remember that conversation. My thought process is, and I don't, does anybody know what the square footage of our weight room is at the new high school?
Not off the top of my head. It's a, Matt, do you remember what size of classroom is?
Give me a second, I'll tell you a minute.
I know I went and looked in it and felt like it was a pretty good sized space. When we walked through it, I felt like it was a good enough space for a career tech program. Again, depending on what it seemed like a pretty good space.
It's bigger than what we have now, right?
Two classrooms.
It's bigger than ours now.
Is if possible, I mean, I'm thinking money, cost savings. If we were able, kind of to Jennifer's point, would we really have to switch, like, could we make the field maintenance, like, somehow take that space that's there and kind of create a couple small changing areas and as opposed to field maintenance, and we can make that work where the use isn't. So we really wouldn't have to change, but maybe build a wall or something in a space.
Well, it'd be maybe there's a hallway in between there coming in, you know.
Right.
But, and that's what I'm saying. Right now, as we're kind of looking, we've got like three or four different options to look at here.
Right.
We kind of need to pick the shell.
Right.
The gym floor part of it's probably not going to change much. So what do we want this area to kind of look like? And then, I mean, if you kind of skip to the third one.
Well, while we're waiting on that, Matt has the space.
Yes, your weight room in the new school is 41 by 40. So it's about 1,640 square feet.
And this is slotted for 951.
Yeah, it's a nice big space. When you walk in.
Well, but what I'm saying, that's another, what, would you say? 1,600
square feet.
So we're losing 700 square feet if we move the weight room.
There are 900 square feet, so you're almost getting two classrooms.
I don't know.
Spaces.
I didn't spec out the weight room.
It's two classrooms.
How big is ours now?
A lot smaller than that.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
Do you need a weight room that large?
There's going to be a dividing wall over there. There's a dividing room wall in the next space over, which is like the whole five.
So as we kind of, just to start kind of thinking big picture here, before we get too focusing, when we get to the third space, what Paul's done here is basically this is the same building, and this is showing like adding on all this space in the future. Now, we're not saying that this has to be the classroom, the tool crib has to be here. He really kind of used some OFCC guidelines to just build a space that would be used for vocational to give us an idea of what it could possibly look like. But I think the decision early on is, and I've heard some board members talk about it, is do we build the whole shell, the outside walls? We've got time to figure out what's going on in there. Because none of that's load bearing, so it's not like we need the structure in there. So,
question on that. Sorry, shell. That when we're talking square footage of when you add all this up, 3,000 830 square feet for the career tech lab, 223 for the changing room, all that is, it, when you look at the square footage of a shell, is that still the $111 or is that something that's like $70 because it's not being finished?
Well, I guess it depends on what the word shell means, but it's probably closer to the $70. If you put the concrete floor in there, metal walls, again, it depends on what you do with lighting, depending on what you do with the heating and ventilating. Those are factors of in there, but it, in the, you know, you're getting a spacer. If you build all these walls, you're driving the cost more.
Right.
Because you're confining a lot of work to small spaces. But if you build the outside, let's call it three walls on that,
right,
it's less than the square footage cost of the other space.
And what, in our, Jennifer, in the, when you met with Roger,
mm-hmm,
what did he give us any indication of program, space?
That's a process, which I'll talk about when we get to instruction technology. But nothing specific.
Okay. And I'm sorry if I would, I was, it's 47 by 40, so it's 1,900 square feet away from the new school.
Oh, so it's bigger.
It's bigger. Yeah. I looked at the 7, thought it was the 1.
So as we're looking at this, I mean, I think the way we can kind of get the process started is, you know, obviously we need to get with, between MKC and CT Taylor. And we need to design our main space to what we think we're gonna use now. And what we can do is have them bid out as an alternate, basically putting on those three walls so that we build it in such a way that in 5 years we have a career tech program that comes in 3 years and 10 years, that we've got a space that we can turn around and adapt to that situation. So some things you'd look at is we probably put a somewhat larger heating system in there because we're gonna wanna account for that square footage in the future. It's not like we're gonna wanna change out and put another unit in there. So we would do some of those pre-planning things, but to build this space internally without knowing the program, I think would be not necessarily the best idea. I think the decision that we need to have is how much is it gonna cost to add that part so that we know that, I mean, because we could still, the way we've discussed this building is that if we don't build that part on, we are planning on at least having the ability to do it in the future. So I think working with MKC and CT Taylor to basically come up with the GMP for the main part and an alternate to add that other, what we're basically calling a shell for the future of the education process, that we could, that gives us the flexibility both ways.
If we move the weight room from the high school, what, outside of career tech, what could it be used for?
Those two rooms in the high school?
The current weight room, 1,900 square feet.
Yeah,
I mean,
would be two classrooms, correct?
You turn it into two classrooms if you weren't using the whole area as one large area.
And would we, what classroom, I mean, because they would be just add-on classrooms, because right now we wouldn't have...
I know we do have a couple teachers, and Mr. Shaner's not here, he could obviously speak to this better, that are doing a little bit of traveling. So they don't necessarily have their own classroom, but I don't think they're always full-time.
Well, and I think it could be an easy answer to adding other career tech programs. Right. I mean, in my mind, it makes sense to put athletics in the field house, to configure that weight room, add some locker or changing areas, and put athletics there. And then we've freed up two classrooms in our new high school where we could add some career tech programs.
My only worry would be if you need a high ceiling space. Like, you know, if you're coming in with equipment that needs something, like this is a pretty high ceiling in here. What are the ceilings in the new building, Matt?
9 feet tall.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They're about 9 feet tall. So we're looking at needing more mechanical.
You could take that ceiling out.
Yeah, you could take that ceiling out.
You could not put that ceiling in. go to a different light fixture, different support, and have an exposed structure, that would gain you to, I think, 12'8" the outside wall, and that the structure slopes up to, say, 17 feet at the forward wall.
What is the current size of our weight room now? Does any, like, this, estimate?
Little.
This room is roughly 48x40, would put you right about to these ratings here. So that's about the size that this room that we're in right now. I would say your existing weight room is probably that front table to the wall.
It's little.
Because mm-hmm. how much, I guess in my mind, I don't know, how much space do we need for a weight room? Is
our
it workable to use this space that's here, this 951 square feet, and add some changing areas?
I can say our current weight room, while it's small and we've used it, it's kind of, that's what it is. We've made it work. But 1,900 square feet, I don't...
That's big. When I walk into
the
room, I went...
I think that's a little overkill. I'll be
okay.
Very up
that's
front,
like,
but we definitely need a
bigger
space.
That's bigger than my first house.
we definitely need a bigger space than what we have. But here's my whole thing with the weight room. Our sports use it. Obviously, their locker room is out by the stadium, right? That's where our sports teams, for some. Some are at the high school. Back and forth, winter sports. You know, that's, I guess, the big thing, you know, because right now it's at our high school. And those are just the things I think about is...
But this isn't going to be far away. I mean, it's...
Guess your existing weight room is probably 500.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't want to guess that and look bad, but
that's probably a good guess.
I like the idea. I just don't want to restrict ourselves by maybe if the cost is inexpensive to build the shell, maybe not 3,700 square feet, but another
that could always
couple
be added
thousand.
In the future. I mean, and just hearing what's being talked about, we could add a little bit of square footage onto this building.
That's what I'm talking about.
To move the weight room out there, have some changing rooms. It wouldn't, like you said, it wouldn't be, you know, it's like 7,000 square feet, all of that.
Right.
Like, you know, because basically what Paul did is design about the biggest building here we could put out there without having to sprinkle it, which is... You know, if you go over 20,000 square feet. So what I'm hearing, and this is kind of what we wanted to discuss so we can move this on, is we'd like to see a design with the true weight room out here with some changing kind of phys ed rooms to where when teams are out there using it, they've got a place to change. If phys ed decides to use that or not, they've got a place to change. And we've moved our weight room.
I agree.
I'm okay with that. My only fear is this, is that we do that and we say, well, now we've opened up this 1,900 square feet at the high school. Bam, they become classrooms. Now we have no space.
Well, I like what Jennifer said. I agree. And that move the weight room out there, frees up 1,900 square foot. If we can get that HVAC in there, that's what we're kind of going for. If that space will work, and obviously you're working on that. That'll kind of solve all of our problems.
But here's the, I agree with you, all of it. But we also just discussed that there's two floating teachers and we don't know how long it's going to take to get a program. So if we split that 1,900 square feet up into two classrooms, then that space is now gone and we have nothing.
I would say we don't split it up. I like Matt's idea of lifting the ceiling up before we get to that point.
Yeah, but what do you, so you're going to have, how, you know how difficult it's going to be for a brand new high school to be sitting there 1,900 square feet not being used until we find a program?
Well, I think that's an administrative decision.
Yeah.
A lot of these programs are classroom programs. They're not what you're thinking in vocational. Vocational's changed quite a bit.
Well, I'm thinking, I know vocational's changed, but I know the times have changed too. Like, when we were talking in operations committee is, you know, there used to be an auto mechanics program here. Well, is that 1,900 square feet, is that capable to put auto mechanics in it at the high school? Probably not. We were talking about diesel technicians. If you graduate high school with diesel technology, you're gonna be able to find a job like that. I mean, that's where I'm saying you kind of restrict yourself in some ways of the space attached. I like it all. I'm just trying to make sure that we don't close one. If it's inexpensive to add a little extra to a field house for a shell, why not do it? And if we have to use it for our maintenance equipment until we figure out.
And my fear about using that building space is I think more in terms of vocational. There's no good way to get things in and out of that area that are bigger than a single door. So are we going to turn around and be opening up and like the side of our brand new building wanting someone to put in an overhead door that wasn't there before? So, and I'm just thinking that kind of practicality of.
And I think that's why we have to go back to your original comment, Jake, and that is we need to bid the building and an alternate. And then we need to continue to have discussions about career tech programs so that we can identify what career tech programs are viable and we might add. And then at that point, we'll know, are those career tech programs that can go in the new school, or are they career tech programs that would be best suited for space here? And we can proceed accordingly, because until we identify exactly what the career tech programs are that we're going to add, it's harder to find the space that we need.
I agree, yeah.
So I think we build options into the spaces, investigate the career tech programs until we're at a point where we feel like we can make a decision or recommendation there, and then we can move forward.
But the problem is, and Matt, you might be able to help me with this real quick. I tried to add that square footage times 70, it's still just to rough that in at $70 a square foot, you're still looking around $394,000. Is that roughly correct? Probably at 70?
Well, 3,700 times 70 is 259, and that's just that career tech area.
No, I'm talking about if you would, what Lewis is saying is to frame that in and yes, not finish it.
Yes, $70. Yeah, you're right. It's almost
$394,000.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying we need that. Well, that's an alternate. I mean,
on
we
top
can
of what we've
out,
already got,
we can right. figure yeah. out a square foot. I'm okay if we. I think
the thing, like Dave says, if we start to kind of go with our base with an alternate, that allows us some time to actually, you know, because we're guessing on some numbers here. CT Taylor can go out to bid, get us our alternate. That gives time for the committees to talk vocational, maybe get a little bit better idea of the direction that that's going. And then we can decide on exactly what and if that space would be all right. Because maybe one of the vocational programs becomes some more of a technology program, one of those, you know, what was the weight room, is classroom, they're more than functional for that. So I think in order to keep the ball rolling, we need to proceed kind of in the design of the size of the building. Because I don't think, and Matt, you can tell me, it's not going to change the cost a whole lot if we decide to add a changing room, kind of a small locker room in there, and take away a little bit of the storage space. Or, you know, if we end up making the building a hair bigger,
Matt,
you know, those don't change the values drastically when we start to actually get the values of what an area like that would cost.
Matt, are those brick walls or like knee walls and then steel halfway up, or they steal away the ground on the sides of that?
You have steel columns down the footings that are on the ground, and then you have what they call a masonry abuse wall around the perimeter, and then it's metal siding.
Would that be easy if we would put the heating system in that would accommodate the whole building maybe 20 years down the road? Would that be easy to add on the rest of the structure in a way that it would look like it was built at the same time? Or what? You understand what I'm trying to get at as far as?
I think you would design the heating system so it has potential for expansion. And then you put a big size of the unit big enough so it has the tonnage to handle a bigger volume. That's relatively inexpensive in the grand scheme. You're buying one piece of equipment, you're upsizing it a little bit.
Well, that would be.
You can certainly add to a building. Again, it depends on if they still make the brick 10 years down the road, the shading, how dirty it gets.
Yeah.
That's really what. Can it look like it? The siding phase? Yeah, it can look like it, but will it be identical match in 10 years? Probably not. But it's doable.
Yeah.
It's certainly doable.
What this is open from the weight room, that area, the field house is all open. There's nothing around the top of the field house, correct? Like a track, like Wadsworth Y?
Nothing. It's open. Basketball hoops, hanging from structure, and when you have batting cages, and that's up there. You'll have a divider curtain in the morning, but that's about it.
I'm going to make a comment that might not be as nice, but, you know, Norton is a blue-collar town. So I don't understand why we're not given or taking a hard look at, you know, opportunities for every student in this district to have an opportunity. Jennifer threw out a number that said 60% of all students go to college.
That's, well, it's self-reported.
Okay, so how many finish college? How many finish their degree? What are those statistics? Do we know that?
I don't have those numbers with me right now.
So, but, well, I work in the city, and I go to families' homes all over the city. So, and Babcock and Wilcox and Barbizon just laid off over 100 white-collar jobs. So I don't understand. I don't understand this. I want to see a facility here where we have a vocational space. So I want every student to have an opportunity, and I don't get this.
I don't think that anybody's saying that we're not interested in creating
athletics. Don't come first. Education comes first.
Well, that's why we're moving the weight room out here so that we can have two extra spaces.
I don't see anybody academics here pushing to put the vocational space in. I'm a product of the vocational program. Rob is a product of
so
the vocational program.
So is my husband.
Program.
I think and I Ford's asked that, Ford's and moving how many jobs Jake suggested now that we get two well separate quotes and that we continue
yeah, I mean,
to
there's
work
always,
towards
there's always the main thing, money.
Looking at what it's going to look like.
And if it's going to be another $400,000 to add
so
that on.
So then do we need a field house or do we need a vocational space?
Probably both. But we can get that with this. We can move. We're having a hard, we've looked at a bunch of vocational programs the other day, and we're working on that. I'm sure two classrooms is more than enough to have. I mean, it depends on what you're talking about.
I think
talk about HVAC, but it's like astronomical.
How many phone calls have you? This is probably the third highest phone call base that I've got since being elected.
You
people
voted
excited
for it
about this.
You voted for it.
That people are so, no, I'm talking about the vocational aspect. You haven't got a single phone call about it? Nobody's asked you about it? You're the last two.
I'm working on a committee for it.
So what are you proposing to do? I know we'll get to that, but I'm telling you, this is near and dear to me, and I want to see this space. I don't want it to be separated out. I want to see a program come to this school.
Then I think that's probably something you should have made clear when we were voting for a field house. I mean, if you didn't want this.
I think I did.
Well, if you were on the Instruction and Technology Committee last year,
we
why
talked
didn't you work?
I actually, I have all my notes right there that I brought.
Nothing came from it.
Yeah.
Jennifer
and I did talk about that.
You did, but what came from it? Nothing.
Well, one of the things I like about having the vocational for the weight room as one of the positive things could be is I feel like it's more inclusive for the kids. You know, they're in the school with the other kids. That's a positive too, if the space will work. You know, it isn't like they're, you know.
They're separate. I agree with that,
that's
keeping them included.
But,
yes.
And Jason, I did push to see what it costs for a shell. I mean, I think we're all in agreement to look at vocational.
You said 5 years down the road.
That
was an example. I mean, it could be right now, it could be 5 years down the road, it could be 10 years down the road. The point being that this type of building is available for expansion and easier to expand than the current high school that's being built. That was the only reason for that comment. Nobody was saying, we're going to build this and then 5 years down the road.
Well, then we need to start looking at, you know, athletics are very important. You know, we have things that are extracurricular activities that are very important, but education absolutely comes first. And every student deserves success where they go. You know, they're the future. They're the ones who are going to be supporting us down the road.
And nobody's disagreeing with any of that.
No. We have 20 vocational programs that our kids have available to them. 20. That's a lot. And it's up to them to take advantage of that, but we are talking about adding some other ones that are different than what we have. But they have 20, and we're proposing another couple, so.
I just want to see this succeed. I'm sorry, Jake.
So I'll kind of go back to my original plan, and just let me know if this is how you guys would like to proceed, because we obviously need more information. That's what today is about, because we can't help MKC and CT Taylor design and build us a building if we don't get all that information. So we're definitely looking at kind of the A and B types of situations where we need to design the field house. We're going to design it in such a way that we get numbers of building the space for vocational now, or depending on when we decide what that vocational will be, because I think I'll go on a limb and say we have enough support for new vocational programs. But I hate to design a space that isn't going to work and build a space that isn't going to work at, you know, the dollar value. So, but we can't make that decision until we give them an opportunity to go through that process. There is the small time frame, or the time frame of every day we wait. You know, it's not going to, the weather's not going to be great forever. We are in Ohio. So getting to the point of about what size building, let's get the underground over there. I believe MKC is going to soon be working with CT Taylor on that. But I think from what we've discussed today, we'll investigate a floor plan that allows us to move the weight room over with having what I would call phys ed locker rooms. They don't, you know, they'll have the half lockers most likely, an area for kids to change and use that space for both weight rooms and practices. And then as well as a design, basically of what's it gonna cost to put all that on there right now.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Cindy.
This multi-purpose area in the top, why could, I mean, okay, we got some batting cages. Why could we not put changing rooms up there for restrooms? Do they have to have restrooms within them or not?
No, that they need
well,
to.
Well, that's why,
at the bottom of step.
That's why I said the field maintenance could be the same thing.
Excessive.
Yeah, we might be exactly that. We'd have ADA issues.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Because that seems like a big, like, batting cages. Well, that's what I'm really asking that.
Well, we could look at relocating batting cages.
And what could we use for that?
And I would say the big thing here is we're at the point, and I think what the majority of people are saying is we need to get kind of an idea of that base building and what that cost is, what it would be to do an alternate bid to expand it, get that information in front of the board as we continue to look at career tech programs so that we can make a decision. I think that's where we're at.
Jake, on this field maintenance you have here, is this in addition to the field maintenance that we have at the Masonry, or are you
it's just storage area.
Just storage.
Yeah, Paul just put on it field maintenance.
Okay.
So that
it's below the mechanical room. So there could be some room there that the changing rooms could go into.
Right.
We would just reduce our storage.
Well, I didn't know if you were moving down from the Masonry, so that would free up more space there for additional vocational things, or you're not looking at moving. It's options.
It's space.
I don't like that idea over there.
What's
for
that?
For vocational, off campus, kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? Like to create a new vocational at our current Masonry building. It would be completely separate from our high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't.
But it depends what kind of program you have. Because that building is conducive to, you know, the construction type.
Yeah, big doors.
Vocational.
So it's just more space then, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, well, sure that's just space right space. Now.
If you look at the steno room up there, I don't know how many square foot that steno room is. That's a vocational program. You know, I mean, how many is that? That's like two classrooms, isn't it?
What is it?
The steno room, they call the steno?
Steno?
Yeah.
We don't have
what
that.
Is
that?
You know, when I was here, it was steno.
Like that back hallway towards the wrestling room?
Yeah, what is that room now?
Technology.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
Went into a college, so.
So we can kind of move on, but the only fear I keep bringing up the weight room, I think 1900 square feet is a lot, but I'm assuming we have already pre-planned to purchase the weight room equipment for the new high school.
I'd have to talk to the athletic director.
No, I do not believe so.
I don't think much has been put in place for that. I think a lot of that was going to move over and they were going to.
Well, what was the middle school going to do for a weight room?
Move their stuff from the middle school here.
So So we were going to have like five things in that way.
1900. That's what they have now.
1900.
Well, no, I think that there was a sense that, yeah, there were going to need to be some purchases, mm-hmm. but it was not like purchase all new.
Yeah, because that's relatively new.
Yeah, because we did that about, I want to say about 6 years ago, a lot of those things were purchased, 6 or 7, in this building, in the weight room.
Okay. I'm good with the idea. I mean, I kind of, Matt and I talked about the idea of the weight room thing when we talked about when we voted on the field house. I mean, I always thought that was a good idea. I definitely think we need a price and all. Alternate though for a shell at the very least, whether we use it for maintenance equipment,
as we look at it, I don't know how easy it'll be for Matt when he goes out to bid of multiple sizes of a shell too. What's it gonna,
right?
You're gonna be about it kind of a square foot kind of cost, If do we do the whole 7,000 that we can fit before we have to sprinkle it, or do we kind of plan on, maybe we don't need all that, so. We can try to make it as user-friendly as possible as we look at that alternate. But, at the end of the day, we're going to build this building in such a way that we can add on to it, whether it's right now or whether it's in the future, that the mechanicals will be in place to allow that to happen, which is why all the mechanicals are going to be centrally located. Well, it's going to be on the end of one building, but it's the way we plan on expanding.
Does that field maintenance, does that share the same roof line and trusses as the rest of that building? Or does it step down to a smaller truss over that? Because it's a lot smaller the way it jags out there. Obviously, if you do, you're going to have porches on it.
Field maintenance has the mechanical above it.
Oh, is that what it is? So it's going to have the same roof line? Mm-hmm. So what's going to be in front on both sides? It'll be just an open space then, correct?
Well, let's look at the last design that Paul had here. And it was really just to make a rectangle. Because basically that second design was taking the first one and then adding some space. This actually moves the mechanicals down a little bit. So the mechanicals will be above that storage area called field maintenance. And the idea of that was possibly having an area up there where we could park a few mowers and stuff, so we're not bringing them all from this campus. There's some travel time there. People don't think about that, but if they're riding a mower up there, every time they got to mow, it takes a little time. And once again, don't get caught up so much on what those rooms all say, because they'll be whatever we need them to be. It's a space that we can utilize for whatever program, whatever storage, whatever area we need it to be.
Jacob, I'm not getting caught. What I'm trying to say though is this, is the field maintenance, so you got a 20 by, I need my glasses, 20 by 20 little area in the front and back that's gonna have a roof over it, but no walls.
Go here, Rob. Huh? Yeah, put back a couple walls. Pages.
Which one are you at?
Keep going, one more.
It's kind of like
there,
a cutout
got it all filled
or
in,
a slide out here? If you want, yeah. If you per se. It'd be like looking at a slide out on an RV.
No, I understand that. But what I'm at, this isn't really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about.
Right. I'm looking at that one.
What I'm talking about is to build the two more walls, you'd have access for your locker rooms then. On that.
Exactly. If you look at that initial one, and that's what we'll probably go back do and redesign.
Yeah.
Is we'll add a little bit of square foot to the first page you're looking at.
Yeah. So all you have to do is put two walls on each side.
Square foot, move some things around in order to utilize to have what we would call locker rooms or changing rooms.
We're not adding walls.
It would basically probably square off this building.
It's the same.
But it's bigger.
So that will be the next thing that you guys will see. You will see, if you look at drawing number one, and Paul can tell me if I'm crazy, it won't be the first time.
Your outside walls are still the same. It's just the
that we're talking about probably utilizing the square footage that we see here and here that's not currently part of the building as locker room. Makes your rectangle building. That wasn't something that we had discussed before. Literally last week, Dave and Paul and I were thinking, I'm like, hey, if we just put some changing or locker rooms in here, I was thinking of getting phys ed off the gym floor, because ask our basketball coach back there how much he'd like to have that happen. But volleyball would like that. I mean, it's phys ed's tough on a nice wood gym floor. And that's even where that idea started to come from. So,
Jake, if I could interject one thing too, you have the option with your building classroom. You have the option of bringing that ridge line over the classroom staff. Why create all that empty void up there? That the eaves on the athletic side are going to be 24 feet high. You don't have to do that on the classroom side. You can bring that in at 13 or 14 or 15 feet and just have a separate, a lower ridge line, and you see the outside of a wall there. Why create all that volume up there to heat? And again, it's just going to be big empty space. Bring the ridge line down if you want to do classroom additions. Again, make it high enough so you have the flexibility, go up at 14 feet or something where you have the flexibility. If you want to do like an HVAC lab or some sort of a lab that may have bigger equipment, that's still in there. That still has the room, but don't create the big volume of the space. It's not necessary.
And in some of that gain of cost, you know, as we're looking at it, I hate putting them in, but they're very accessible, you know, like overhead doors. The one thing we're thinking like this, what we're calling maintenance is we had an overhead door there, really so we could get something decent sized in and out. And that would be the good thing about adding a space over here with vocational spaces, adding an overhead door to a couple locations that we think in the future we might need to be able to pull in there with a, you know, a forklift. So, you know, when we're thinking more building trades vocational, a building like this is going to be very flexible to make that happen. And that's kind of my fear of us thinking about the new building and vocational, that if it's a building trades vocational, you know, they're going to want to get big stuff in and out from time to time, and how to achieve that. And that's just, that's one of the few things that would be, that this space allows for. I mean, you can almost do whatever you want.
What's our potential timeline for this?
That's a good question. Obviously, as we've been talking, Fieldhouse, the sooner we can make a decision, the better. But in talking with, between Paul and Matt, I mean, we're going to need to get a true quote or a true bid out there. I mean, we're probably, I don't want to commit MKC to bring back another floor plan to the next week's board meeting.
No, just, I mean, rough idea.
You've got a timeline, like February or March or something like that.
The original timeline was the get the plans cleared, get the grade cut, get the utilities out there, get the building ordered so you had to get this year, I think in November, so that you could finish this up and turn it over by June of next year. Going from memory, but my recollection.
Okay, I knew it was next year sometime.
From a building standpoint, we need to get finished grade for the inside of the building so we know where the floor will sit. We need that soon, because what we need to do is we need to get those trees cleared, get that tank moved, or get the weld on, whatever the decision is there, and get the earth done while the weather's cooperating, get done that way. Now you can start footers whenever it becomes ready. You order your building. So a rough approximation of, you know, you can always clear and level more ground than you need, and then plant grass afterwards, or put paving in, or parking, or you have the options to do other things. But getting that first step is critical to have that happen very soon.
Thank you.
I don't know if that can help you.
There's no matching funds for this other than the parking.
If we decide to put in some additional parking, that would be co-funded, but none of this is co-funded.
Now that we're putting a phys ed class in there, that's not co-funded.
You're going above the building square footage for co-funded, so they won't.
And if they did co-fund it, then we couldn't do it for this cost.
Yeah, we'd have to follow the OFCC. The true spec, and I don't know that this building will qualify.
But we're going to need
it's pretty small, about 230. As far as the vocational area is concerned, it's based on a type 5 vocational program. And there are many of those. Most of them require lab space at 3,000 to 3,500 square feet. There are three of them that go up to 4,500 square feet. But that is for just the lab space. And then you have all the adjunct space
around it, like you're changing areas, your tool storage, office resource, related classroom, and so forth. So what is shown here is modeled off of the OFCC concept and design manual, but it's not specifically to the exact size of every space that they would require.
What I don't think they would allow us to do, though, we would have to build it with the rooms and the technology, and we couldn't take some of that stuff out. We couldn't say we're going to build the shell and we'll come back to it later. I don't believe, we can ask the question of our OFCC rep.
But it's not a co-funded space anyway.
They can't dictate,
so,
because they're not going to fund it. If they're going to fund this, you're going to pay the same square footage cost you're paying for the high school, which is roughly $220 a square foot. You don't want to get,
no.
Even if they would co-fund it, you're still back at the exact same point if you pay for it as a local initiative.
So we're not handcuffed by that.
Yes, so. He's designed the spaces to kind of accommodate the same size that the Ohio School Design Manual would dictate, but you don't have to build them with the same requirements because you're paying for this yourself.
Any other questions? So I think the next step is we will get together with MKC, CT Taylor, keep this ball rolling. In terms of being able to get them to design as soon as we can, being able to get out to get a GMP with CT Taylor as soon as we can. And those numbers are going to allow us to make decisions on what pace do we go with this building.
We can expedite some budget numbers once we see a floor plan as to what the space might look like. And once we know approximate, even we can put budget figures towards that, which will give us a very close approximation on the true cost. And we're happy to do that as soon as we can get some design.
So, Matt, are you talking about that a cost of it with the weight room and then with the vocational just roughed in and then finished, so there'll be basically three, or you're talking about two?
We know that the base concept is the field house with the weight rooms in there. We've already kind of given budgets on that. We have to just tweak that a little bit to increase the size of the weight room, the space that's underneath the
mat. Yeah.
So that's not a very difficult exercise, though. If from that, then you're going to add a space that's three outside walls, you're going to extend the walls out just to create some additional space. We can give you what the budget to increase the size to that could be. And if there's drawings showing walls and ceilings, we can price that. We can budget any, whatever we see on paper, we can help out with pricing.
All right, does anybody have any other comments on the field house or the middle school renovations?
Thank you, Jake.
And thanks to MKC for coming tonight. So I guess we'll just have some more rendering.
Yes.
That'll come. Item 3, public participation. We just have one individual who signed up. Dan, if you just want to go to the podium there, and you'll have 5 minutes. If you just state your name, where you're from, and just don't address any board member by name.
Okay.
And we'll have a time here, so go ahead.
Okay, thanks. My name is Dan Minier. My family lived in Norton for 28 years, and our three children were educated in Norton schools. Our children were involved in extracurricular activities, including music and sports for Norton, and were involved in, one of them was involved in forensics, one of them was involved in the theater program. Gotta say, coming tonight and looking what I'm seeing, I'm very excited about what's going on in Norton schools with the field and high school and everything. It's really exciting to see. I'm really happy to see that. I'm here to request and recommend that the new high school auditorium be named for William Vail, a teacher with 50 years of service in Norton schools. Yep, 50 years. He retired, I think, twice, and he's currently a substitute today. Some of his past highlights, obviously an English teacher, a forensics coach, theater and drama coach, and he's taught and is still teaching at the University of Akron for over 30 years. Bill was inducted in the Ohio Forensic Hall of Fame many years ago. He started the theater program and produced three plays a year. That's right, three plays a year before any school in the area ever thought of the idea. Most high schools are lucky to have one production a year if they have that. Bill's productions go back over 30 years. His students have performed everything from Shakespeare, Moliere, to MASH. He's also involved in community plays. I'm sure most of you might know that, in Norton, and then performed such places as the Houston Hall here in Norton. Many of Bill's former students have become English teachers and theater coaches due to Bill's influence. Bill used the few resources offered to perform plays, whether on the stage, in the gym, or even on the gym floor. Some of the school board members, and I won't name them, but I have contacted and they're aware of this recommendation and request, as well as the superintendent. Bill and his wife, Sue, have lived in Norton for over 30 years, well over 30 years. Their four children were educated in the Norton school system, and there is no one that we feel exemplifies, or I feel exemplifies, Norton High Schools in Norton, Ohio better than Mr. Vail. I've talked with many former students, current students, teachers, administrators, former and current, faculty members, coaches, and everybody that I've talked to a person, has agreed with the thinking. I really appreciate your allowing me to take this time to speak, and I would respectfully appreciate your full appreciation for this recommendation.
Thank you. No one else has signed up. Does anybody else wish to speak? You have 3 minutes if you can just state your name. And do not address any board member by name.
My name is David Halpin in Franklin. I want to talk about higher education or going to vocational school. It was said a couple meetings ago that 60% of the Norton kids attend college. National average is 65, but 60%, that's a good enough number. Jordan Wiseman from Slate Senior Business and Economics says 59% of the students get a degree who start. Most of them take 5 years to get a four-year degree. The Washington Post stated that only 27% of the college grads get a job in the field that they're educated in. Let's look at this another way. 100 adults graduate from Norton High School, 60 attend college, 35 get a degree. 9.5 get a job in the field that they got their degree in. You get all this for $20,000 a year. At the end of their college, they're looking at a staggering debt of $100,000. The cost of higher education has gone up 500% in the past 6 years or so, versus the cost of healthcare of only going up 250, and we got a national problem, the government says, but they won't address the problem of 500% for colleges. We are profoundly disconnected from reality. There are 3 million skilled jobs no one wants, and the gap is widening. There are good paying jobs, can make an adult a good living. The schooling needed to perform these years is not $100K a debt. A four-year degree is not the only path to success. This country is $1 billion, with a B as in Bravo, dollars in debt for schooling. To people who can't pay the bill back, pay their schooling bill back for a job that doesn't exist. Skilled trades apprenticeship is a very low cost, provides education and job training with a paycheck, with a 75% 75 versus 9.5% success rate. Will Norton address the issue of providing schools to our children so they can become employed and support the family, or will we continue to provide an education that has a 9-point, push the kids towards an education that has a 9.5 success rate? And the rest of the story, how much time do I have left?
About 30 seconds.
Okay.
20.
The rest of the story, Paul Harvey attended college, never graduated. 2000, he got a $100 million contract. No college degree. He only lived 9 of the 10 years. We need schooling, but we also need to look at all of them. Yes, we have a need for college.
Your time is up.
We have a need for a vocational.
Thank you. Does anybody else wish to speak? Thank you. Item 4, the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Item 5, board business. Discuss the levy campaign. I know that obviously everybody's working possibly in different directions, so I just want to make sure that everybody is trying to work together. I know that some at the football game were handing out things, and last time we had a plan, so I just wanted to make sure that I'll just throw it out and start that conversation, that the five of us are going to work together.
The board's never been in charge of levies.
I understand that.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I
yeah.
Think you knew that or not.
But
yeah, I have taken kind of control of the levy because Lewis was, you know, talking about it too. But we have our signs. We have people working on flyers. We are working on sign locations. So if anybody wants to give a sign location, that's fine. We will take money for the levy campaign. And as the time approaches, we will give everybody an opportunity to do whatever. So,
and
Angie's here. She's working on it. A couple other ladies, too. So,
and let me just give the issue number. We got it back, and the issue is 41. So that's going to be on the ballot, issue number 41. And I'm sorry, Lewis, go ahead.
Well, Cindy and I have spoke, and I don't want all the burden to be on a couple people, but the last time it seemed like our sign population wasn't as good as it should have been, whether people had signs and didn't put them out. Yeah. What's our concept on how should we, can we format a positive way to collect and distribute signs appropriately? Number one, and number two, as far as like the money, who is it, the same process? Can we distribute the address? I just want to make sure that we have the process, and I don't want all the work to be on you or Angie. And I know you said Denny was involved. Yeah. Again, I mean,
the signs, Angie already has, you have a list from last time. Yeah. So we're going to go out with an opt out thing, you know.
Oh, okay.
And divide that up, and in about a month, we can put signs out, maybe three, four,
right.
Between 3 and 4 weeks. So yes, we're going to work on that, getting that divided. And then, did you have that by neighborhood, or how did you have that?
To Lewis's point, I only have a certain amount of them. I do.
You know, you don't have the whole
right.
Limits for all of them.
I think we just did a poor job. I mean it's pretty easy to
locations, then I have them on the list. But if people just said, you know, I'll take 20 signs and place them themselves, I don't know where they are.
Okay. We haven't talked. Okay.
But that's what I'm just saying. If we can kind of get a more of a definitive game plan on that.
Don't you have a Google Docs thing going on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a Google Docs with the sign locations, correct?
How many signs do we have?
I don't know.
I thought it was 250.
250, I think.
Yeah. I know last time we asked people to send addresses so that we could keep this master list, keep it all organized. Unfortunately, that didn't happen with everybody who was taking signs. I know some signs didn't get placed. So I think it's better to keep it organized so that we know what neighborhoods are being covered.
Yeah.
And what neighborhoods are not, and who's taking signs, and if they're actually putting them out.
Yeah, that was the key.
Yeah.
We'll have to kind of neighborhood type thing, but.
I think we need to determine where the signs are now.
Where they're at?
Well, they're.
Oh, all of them? Everybody that, okay, they all turn.
They're all in one location, somebody's house. So, yeah, they're all there, but we just need to, we got to the point, we got the flyer done, we got, we started working on football games kind of thing, so. We got about 3 weeks.
What about last time as well, I was in charge of, I think on the district update or one of the communications, the building administrators got me all their events, like, I know like tonight was a PAC meeting for primary.
Tomorrow's there's one at the middle.
Yeah, so I, can we do that again?
Sure.
As far as, and I'll take charge of putting a master list together. I think that's important, especially with fall events. I don't know what our capabilities are for youth sports, hitting those.
Yeah, Angie's hitting some of those, but yeah, we can do that. It was, we did not get the issue number till Friday afternoon. At what time did you finally get that?
Right.
4:30, 4:45.
Yeah, so we did a flyer that didn't have the issue number on it, but we're gonna redo that so that people know what issue number it is. So, yes. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great to, you know.
I mean, if we can just get that out to the administrators again, because they notified me of the different opportunities to touch people.
And then you'll work with getting people to cover those.
Yeah, because I would say, like some people said, oh, I'm already going to that, so I'd mark their name down. But once I get a master list, then I'll send it out and say who's available, who can do what. And obviously last time it failed miserably. I want to make sure that I saw I looked at the flyer that we started handing out at the football game. A lot of the common issues that you hear or maybe I guess confusion is people still confuse it with new school, bond renewal. I want to make sure that media-wise that people understand that this is an operating levy. It's completely separate from our school. We have lowered it. And it's important that, while I know we have a new school, our costs continue to go up. Our school is our school. There's no dramatic changes that we can turn a switch tomorrow. It's pure operating, and we need to make sure that as a group and with the community support that we enforce, but spread the word of really truly what it is and what this means to our kids and the importance of it. I mean, it is what it is, and we need a full-blown effort.
Well, this operating levy has nothing to do with the new schools.
Right, I know, but I'm just saying that as people talk.
Well, and that is one thing that I heard from people is that, oh, building a new school, now you can't afford to operate. Right. Which we knew that was going to be coming.
Whether
so,
we had a new score or not, this is happening.
So maybe on one of our flyers we modify and add something to address that. Because even though you're explaining it to the people, you wonder how many other people think that too.
Yes.
You know?
You're taking two old schools that are terribly expensive to operate offline.
Exactly, and you try to explain that to people, but then there's other people out there who are thinking the same thing and aren't hearing that. And aren't thinking that way, so then, you know, how many...
more efficient, high-efficient school online and taking two dinosaurs. The message needs to be sent there.
And this will be my second part of, a second attempt to pass a levy when some of you have been through a lot more, some more expensive than others as far as levies, but any great ideas of hitting our home runs, who are the parents of our own students today. It needs to kind of, I hate to say it, but it needs to be kind of like the flu, you know? We need to get those people on board to spread the word. And what's the best approach to do that? I mean, I've talked to you about it, that I've knocked my brain out trying to think of different ideas.
You know, it's like just a whole bunch of little approaches, you know, you just hit everybody where you can in different ways. And yeah, there's not one big grandiose, it's not like the bond issue, that was a little bit different. I mean, that was completely different ballgame than this.
And we've lowered it, just to be clear, we've lowered the
millage.
The millage, and based on our last attempt in March, the difference per 100,000.
The largest stuff was the decrease in the.
No, I know, okay. But I'm saying the difference in the per 100,000 was like
$3
what?
A month.
$3 a month.
It was
right.
Something. It's yeah. Something. Now. So that
right.
Was on the flyer.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. But we've got other flyers that we've used that we're going to modify and, you know, use some of that. And yes, we always have the price on how much it is per month.
And we also were able to lower it from some of the observed savings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that that's stuff that gets out, just like with the remodel of the middle school. You know, we're talking about the field house. I mean, while it's money being spent, we're doing our best to utilize the space that we have and the money that we have. And I think as a group, you know, we're doing the best we can to reduce that. And I, you know, we need to get that stuff out there to the people. I mean, it's, you know, I have to pat ourselves and prior to me with the school and everything else, you know, on the back for doing a good job.
Well,
I mean, it is what it is.
Historically, if you go back, probably have to go back 15 years, the district did a tremendous job setting money aside out of
yeah.
Improvement levy, to purchase property, to continue to have money there for those kinds of things, which enabled us to have the bond levy. And so much of the money that people see getting spent is the result of a history of savings and being frugal in the district to allow that to happen. And the operating money is just, it's a whole different part of education. It's the part that, if you look at our district, in the last 10 years, we've passed 1.9 mils of new operating dollars. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you'd be very hard-pressed to name any other district that's even close to getting by on the last 10 years with just 1.9 mil increase in operating dollars. And it really is because, you know, as a district, we not only from a permanent improvement standpoint, but from a day-to-day operation standpoint, question and take a look at every dollar that we spent. You know, I have Sharon Herchek and Angie Wagner and Eric Morris will know that we went through periods where we didn't buy books until it made sense because they were doing new standard at the state level. We have been extremely frugal to allow it to be at that point.
And to expand from that point, I for now heard the third different, and I don't want to steal any thunder from maybe later, but I've heard the third different, I guess, department or opportunity where we said we're working with what we got, but in reality, it's not efficient. It's not up to date. It's not, and I you know, that's one thing that I think, you know, unfortunately, the message doesn't get out there that people don't understand is, you know, we don't have the best. We're not always looking, and we're working and doing things in environments that really, and all will pass inspection, but are really below standard for today's environment. And that's my point is people. I don't think our community understands how we truly operate behind the scenes, and hence why I'm saying it today. I mean, I you know, unfortunately, social media is a big part of trying to get a message across. But you know, we got to do whatever we can to make sure people really understand it, because it's not money that we just arbitrarily need. I mean, and people hopefully will start to learn.
The last thing any board member wants to do in the state of Ohio is put a levy on the ballot. Period. I mean, it is, nobody wants to do that. If the state had not cut us $453,000 a year, we still wouldn't be going for a levy. That's the frustrating part. We work really hard to keep in budget, and then the state pulls the rug out from underneath us, and it's frustrating.
Nothing that affects our daily budget, but one of the things you guys heard me drone on about was the refunding of our bonds. We were able to, because interest rates were low, we were able to go out. We did that last Tuesday, reduced on $7.7 million worth of bonds. We were able to reduce the interest rate by 10 basis points, which is going to save, it saves nothing for the district at all, but it saves the community in the life of the loan that they're paying. It's $1.2 million for those bonds. And then we're looking at possibly doing it again in January when those bonds have a call date on them. And hopefully the interest rates will allow us to do that. So it's diligence like that that we don't have to do, but we want to do it because we're saving the taxpayers money. It's ultimately not going to come out of the taxpayers' pockets to make that $1.2 million worth of payments by doing those kind of things. So we do try to look at everything. That's not saving us money here at all, but it is saving the taxpayers money.
Okay.
One of the things, in answer to your earlier question, Lewis, one of the things that we did to pass the bond issue to the building was we, several of the people on the Board of Education and some people in the community went to booster groups, flower clubs, church groups, Kiwanis, and we spoke to those individual groups. So if you can maybe start contacting those people and get into some of the meetings and allow them to ask you questions there.
All right, anything further on the levy?
Thank you for getting the ball rolling. I know timing-wise, I appreciate it.
All right, committee reports, finance.
No, I talked to Stephanie last month. I think we're going to have a meeting the first week or so of October, is that correct?
Correct.
And she also, we talked about open enrollment. That's another thing we discussed. I know you put an email out about open enrollment. And Stephanie's going to do a report on that, basically, and on open enrollment. That kind of goes along with the levy issue. There is a group of citizens who, you know, are constantly questioning that. So I think for transparency, it'd be a good idea, and she agreed to basically do a full report on open enrollment in October under your treasurer reports.
So we're meeting in October?
I think. She was going to get in contact with
you. I have my new software update the 3rd and 4th of October. So after I do that, if we can look at maybe before the committee of the whole meeting that next Monday, which would be 10th, maybe? 10th or 11th, somewhere there, if we can look at it then.
On that note, Rob, I mean, being that's in October, obviously there'll be a little bit of time prior to a levy, but Mr. Dunn did reply to the email as far as kind of his suggestion of open enrollment. It seemed pretty, obviously it doesn't include numbers, things of that nature, which I know we're looking for, but it was more of filling the gaps as opposed to bringing in extra.
And I've had conversations over the years with Mrs. Hagenbush as we do that to make sure that it's not increasing dollars. So
I just want numbers.
No, I know you do, and I understand that, but I just want to make sure for the purpose of it is we did get a response of it's more of filling. If, you know, our classroom size is 24 and we have 21, we can add 3 without adding cost per se. That's the mentality of what it is today.
Well, I mean, if you're getting a question from the public, get the transparency, have the numbers.
I agree. I wanted to make sure that we got that out there because nobody really, it was brought up here.
Right.
It was emailed out to us, but I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of what the response was. That's all.
All right. Policy.
We will have our first reading next week of some policies that we reviewed in the committee. Nothing out of the ordinary. Everything was pretty much state mandated, or even some that we already have in place. We're ahead of the game. So that's it.
Community engagement.
We haven't met, but we need to meet in the next month or so about the opening of the stadium of the high school.
Okay.
So we discussed a little bit, maybe doing that beginning of January before the building opens. It doesn't open until the 9th.
When you want to have the meeting?
Probably in November sometime, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it just had to be too early.
Just let me know.
Yeah. So, and then along with community engagement is kind of the levy stuff, but we already discussed that, so.
Took thunder. Took your thunder.
No.
All right, technology and instruction.
Well, we did meet with the purpose of trying to develop additional career tech programs, and for those of you who don't know, it hasn't been called vocational in a long time, and the face of career tech is changing. It is more geared towards, you know, some 2 and 4 year college degrees, not all of it, but some of it. So we met a couple weeks ago with Roger Wright. He is the director of the Four Cities Compact. Mr. Dunn was there, and several administrators and a lot of members of staff, which was nice to see. The purpose of the meeting was just to kind of, you know, talk with Mr. Wright. We reviewed the programs that are currently being offered. There's one program that's going to be discontinued, so he's already working with Wadsworth in developing a program, because it is one program that's leaving the Wadsworth. It's offered at Wadsworth, so they're looking at replacing it. So when we're talking about developing new programs, one of the first things that we decided to do was to put together a student survey to see what our students are interested in. And we were talking about not just surveying high school students, but starting a little younger than that with the middle school, with all 4 of the districts in the compact. Initially, it looked like the survey results weren't going to be back to us until January, but after some additional discussion, Mr. Wright is already working with the compact staff to come up with a draft, and I think the 4 superintendents will get it next week, if I'm right.
That was the original thing, hopefully to look at a draft next Friday.
Yeah, so the plan is for this draft survey to be available next Friday. Our group will look at it also, and then it's going to be distributed to the students, because there's no sense in trying to develop a program if nobody's interested in doing that program. So the other thing that we're looking at is the labor market, and see what the trends are with what jobs are being hired, what the trends seem to be for the future for developing a program, and what that space facility is going to look like. We are going to continue to meet on approximately a monthly basis so that we as a group can help try to develop what we can offer, not just for Norton students, but it's for, you know, the 3 other districts in the compact. And I think that because career tech, some of it is changing so much in that it's geared more towards, you know, students getting a 2 or 4 year degree, I would kind of like us to step back a little bit and look at what other offerings we can give to students who are not college bound, because, I mean, we all know not everyone is cut out for that, whether it's based on their mental aptitude or financial situation or whatever it is. So from my standpoint, that's kind of what I would like to see, but we're, you know, working together as a group and trying to develop something that's good for our students and to make them employable upon graduation. So I'm encouraged. I think that, you know, we have a lot of people that are interested from our own district in pursuing this. And Cindy, this is something that you and I have been working on, I don't know, for a long time. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I was glad that the teachers came. I know one of them is here tonight, and
yes.
They have really good insight and have a lot of contacts in other districts and other vocational programs that they can give us some, you know, there's no sense to recreate the wheel.
Exactly.
Like, but, you know, we can look at other.
And that is one of the things that we talked about was touring some, or at least had some discussions and emails back and forth with Mr. Wright, is touring some other compacts. There's the 6 Cities Compact. There's also the Medina Career Center, the Portage Career Center, seeing what's offered there and what those programs look like. And then, you know, it's a step process. It's going to take some time. Hopefully it doesn't take too long, so that, I mean, I'm optimistic. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but I would like to try and see us add something by next fall. That's just
so. Just a question on that. When I did my research, it was like Barberton had like 8 or 9 programs. Wadsworth had a ton. It was like Norton and Copley were in the middle.
There are 20.
With like
right
two
now we
or,
have 2, and yeah. Copley has 2. Yeah. Barberton and Wadsworth do have the majority. They're also bigger in size,
right,
and have more resources. So
right.
I mean, that's a factor also. And like Cindy said, there's 20 right now, but medical assisting is going away from Wadsworth. I'm not sure. the whole ins and outs, but they are looking to add a couple new programs also.
I just, my where I was going with it is there potential to maybe do two smaller ones as opposed to one big one? Is that stuff that we're, you know, just so we can keep adding to, so maybe Norton can have four?
I think we're looking, right now we're looking at anything. Okay. And a lot of it too, I think, is going to be determined by what these surveys come back, what information we get, right, what our students are interested in for the future, and what jobs are the trends for the future.
It was amazing looking at what is already offered. I had no idea that how the different EMT, you know, every, yeah. I mean, it was, mm-hmm. back when I was in school, I remember cosmetology, mechanics, and I think wood over in carpentry over in, yeah, Wadsworth.
Well, what does the survey look like? Did you give them options to check off or have them write in?
They're developing the survey. We haven't seen it
okay.
yet.
Okay. Or were you going to email us so that we can see it maybe?
I'm not sure what that's going to look like. It'll probably come to the superintendents, and then the group is going to look at it.
What's in the next week? Could you put that in the update so we can see it maybe?
Depends on when I get it. Our meetings are at 2:00 on Friday afternoon, so depending on when I get out of there and what the survey looks like, if it's easy to forward, I will.
Okay. I'd like to see just...
I'll get it to you there early the next
sure.
week.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Monday. But I'd just like to see, are they going to give them options or just have them write in, you know, the student write in maybe what they'd be interested in? Or?
I would think there would be a little bit of both, but I don't know. I haven't seen it. And so it would be kind of probably silly for me to speculate, but in most surveys like that, there are some questions for them to answer, some checklist type of things, with some chances for feedback as well.
Yeah, because it should probably include what's already offered, so they might not know that.
Well, the thing about that, though, is there are meetings each year where they go over what's offered, and so they already get some of that feedback. I don't know how much of that they're going to want to duplicate or not, but I'll see.
Jennifer, I know in the past when we talked back in, I think, January, somewhere I got a figure like that HVAC was like $300,000. Did he give you a cost on that? Or
we didn't talk specific okay. programs, although, you know, some of our staff members, and Ms. Hackenberg, you were one of them, I mean, we're very excited, brought some ideas to the meeting, but we didn't talk specifically about any specific programs yet.
Okay.
It's all going to be
building. Down the road, okay.
Yeah.
One thing to make, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here because, you know, I have kids in vocational program and I absolutely agree with it, is everything that we do here as a startup is 100% our cost. It is not a shared cost with the compact, so whichever district takes it on pays the whole thing. So, for instance, if we did HVAC and we had to pay for all of the equipment, I have no idea what that cost. If it's $500,000, that's our cost.
What's
that we have
to
pay.
What fund?
Operating. So like the levy that we have.
Time for the other districts, or how's that
no.
work? No.
No. What we get is any student that comes here, we get the funding that comes along with them.
With
so for every kid that comes here that takes their education classes here and then goes, say, to Barberton for a class, part of their funding follows them to Barberton, kind of like open enrollment follows the kid. So if we bring more kids in here, we're going to get like half of their school funding for that. So it's and then we pay for the teacher.
Thing where it would pay for itself over if you keep that program.
Well, you have to pay for the teachers also and any other equipment.
The longer you keep it, the more.
I don't know how long it would take to recoup the cost. It would take a very long time.
It'd be interesting to see.
Well, say you figure it's $5,900 a kid, and then you're going to get a percentage of that based on the amount of the day that they're here, and then you're
kids.
Only getting your state share of that, which is only like 40% of that. So you're getting half of a half, kind of. So plus you got to pay for the teacher and any equipment costs that might go along with that. And, you know, unless we can write grants or we can, like the Barberton did the welding, that's why it's housed at
Stark State
because it was too expensive to start up. So, but they do provide the all the equipment for them, you know, the masks and all that. So that's all a cost that Barberton has to pick up. They have to pick up the actual cost of paying the college for it. So it, just something that we have to keep in mind when we're going out there and asking for levies and additional stuff. Those are additional costs that we have that I just want everybody to understand that that might be something that we would have to come and say, hey, we need to do this for our students, and here's why, and here's what we're doing, but it is.
The only reason I like that HVAC is because, you know, I know Steve Boyer from Custom Comfort and stuff, and I talked to different people, and they've told me there's a demand for it, and it's a demand where the kids can actually get out and make a living, or start out and make some money with it, and that's the reason why I like that, is I feel like there's a demand, and it's a demand that is a real good job opportunity.
Oh, I agree, and I'm not trying to say that's not the way to go.
I just, I know that is something I mean.
We just have to keep that in our mind.
It'd be interesting to see the surveys too, because you can have, there may be a demand, but you may have zero kids that want to do HVAC.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, he said HVAC, didn't he say it was more commercial? Was that the one that he said?
I believe he said more commercial rather than residential.
Yeah.
But it was nice he brought, was it Ohio's, what is that?
Ohio Means Jobs.
Ohio Means Jobs, and went in there and just brought different jobs that were, you know, available, and we're going to use that too, to, you know, because if there's no, obviously if there's no jobs in something, you don't train people, you know, so.
Well, it's not going to be successful, right, if there's no positions.
Yeah, and that's not the goal. The goal is to have kids walk out of here and be able to be employed.
I'll speak from experience. And when I was in school, like you said, dating yourself, I mean, Barbara and Wadra both had a cosmetology program. And I know the girls I went to school with, I mean, the majority of them who took that are doing it for a living, and they seem like they're doing well at it. So I was shocked. I remember one meeting, but I think doesn't just Barbara
just
have
one,
it?
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's, I like the idea that these kids can take something and actually get out and get moving in life and get their feet on the ground.
Well, I need to give you some idea, though. One of the reasons going to Wadsworth was dropped is because we actually had too many girls going into cosmetology, and they couldn't get jobs when they got out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
You start doing follow-up studies, like having one program makes sense.
Yeah.
But at that
so the market was
point in time, too, it was just too
much.
That's because the nursing program is great, you know. You can get out and be.
Yeah. Got flooded.
You can get, you know, you can either go on and continue your education, or you can actually get a job with your SDNA and that kind of thing. So
I anticipate once we get the survey back and then everyone has an opportunity to review it from our group, then we will meet again and discuss our next steps. So.
We have a comment.
A lot of this data you people are trying to generate has already been gathered. If you look at www.profoundlydisconnected.com, a man by the name of Mike Rowe from Discovery Channel, you all know him from Dirty Jobs? Anybody know him? Anybody hear about him?
Ford guy.
Yeah.
He's out there preaching basically what we are. I am. College. They price themselves out of the job. 3 million shovel-ready jobs, that's the term Obama uses, are out there. They're for skilled tradespeople. They're the people that are building your building down here. They're the people that build America. The push has been towards college, and they forgot about these good jobs as a pipe fitter, HVAC guy, electrician, whatever. Mike Rowe's Foundation has already gathered this information, and from 2008 until now, they are pushing for this. They do it for the whole country. We're in the Rust Belt, people. It's going to be a long time before this place comes back. I'll be dead in the ground before this place starts booming again, like it did back in the 90s. Be dead and gone. The kids that are going to make a living are going to get their education, they're going to go somewhere else in the country. I fly out to Indianapolis area, see some friends. The place is booming. Buildings all over the place, tower cranes, people spending money. If these kids get jobs, and I shouldn't say kids, they're adults, they're 18 years old. If these adults get jobs, go to that foundation, look to see what they have to say about it. Mike Rowe's been on the soapbox for 8 years. Why not use his information? It's countrywide. Maybe the kids don't want to stay in the kids. I guess they'll be kids my whole life. The adults will do better if they move out of our area. The information's out there. Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs, Profoundly Disconnected.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else on technology?
No.
Okay. operations, we met actually quite a bit of information. Jake, did you want to talk about any of that? You had an article in the paper today. I didn't know that was going in.
Didn't I get called today?
Yes. Yes, he interviewed him today.
Oh, okay.
So you would not know when. I knew because at the Trading Post, yeah. There's an article.
Understand.
Just before it came.
Yeah, I was called by the Trading Post. One of the topics we talked about in the Operations Committee, because a lot of it revolved around transportation and looking at different bus stops and things like that. Paul Stoking was in the meeting with us, and Jason specifically asked him about the bus garage. And I knew what Paul's answer would be is, of course, he would like to update his bus garage. Lewis said it earlier today. Norton is the type of town, the type of school district that we've learned to do more with less. I came from a district in Smithville with that same way. We couldn't necessarily buy all the nice things. You know, so they're working in a bus garage that was built in the 50s. So yeah.
You said 1950.
Yeah, 1950.
So, you know, the district has a decision to make right now is what do we do as we transition the district with the bus garage. I know there's a lot of discussions about the land it's sitting on. I've been hopefully very clear that the decision about that land and the decision about the bus garage are really two different decisions. We're gonna have to spend some money to put utilities back up to that building. So now's the time to evaluate, do we do it there? Do we do it somewhere else? What's the real longevity plan for that situation? We're investigating a few different ideas to help them out. You know, if they're gonna stay in that location, transition, and they make things like portable lifts that they couldn't lift the bus up in the garage that it currently is in, but they could at least use that lift outside somewhere and get a little more work done, maybe be a little bit more productive. So we're gonna continue to work in the environment that we work in because we have good staff that can do that. But I think we could still take the opportunity to evaluate where we are and the quality of the bus garage. It's good enough to keep every bus on the road. It is. But I think it's a good opportunity to evaluate it right now.
Well, one of the things that stood out to me was he said it should have been gone years ago. He said it's not safe and the pit, there's no egress and should be shut down. That kind of scared me a little bit.
Well, no, I think in general, this is kind of where I was going with my comment. The bus garage was built in the 50s, built for a bus in the 50s. You can't put a bus in there and walk around it with a closed door. The pit is right now bad, but it passes inspections. If you were to build a new garage, there's no way that it would get by because for safety reasons.
I know, I was there.
But I'm just saying, it's bad. It's bad, but that was part of my point, is if you walk in there and as a diesel mechanic and you're underneath or trying to fix something, it's dark, it's dingy, you can't move around, and it is, and that's 5 or 6 meetings ago when I brought up the bus garage, that's what I meant. I've walked in there, I've talked to Paul, and that's why I made the comments that I did as far as the bus garage. It's falling down. It really truly is, and even in Paul's terms, is there's structural issues with it.
Why hasn't anybody ever brought this up before?
I've never heard it in 17 years.
Me either.
Years. I know.
Me and Jake went through it.
All I mean, 17 years, I've never heard once.
He said he's welding plates to it, and they're bending.
Me and Jake went through it, and the front plates from the salt between the doors is rusting, and they go through there and they weld plates to kind of stabilize it. And you get in the back of it, you can see it's rusting. But, I mean...
Well, why have we not heard this?
I know,
for
that's
the past,
what
I
don't
really, because
understand.
Why would we wait until now when we are doing so much we don't have a ton of money to work with. I mean,
I
you know what I'm saying?
I agree with you, but that's part of my point is I think that it's just they've done what they can to keep it going. And one of the encouraging things that Paul said is when you look at the building, the building where buses pull in is Boeing. And he's like, we don't really need that. We don't need to park them under roof.
That's
a positive, because when you look at that, that's an eyesore. It kind of looks bad, you know. But what bothered me the most out of anything was our fuel. Our fuel island is in bad shape.
It's rusting out also.
He said it's 18 years old and the canopy's up for inspection.
That's what's scary to me.
This is the thing I see. You know, I look at the big. I'm looking at the big picture. I look at, you know, 76. They're making, you know, six lanes. Norton coming into downtown is going to be, you know, they're widening all that. You know, we have an opportunity to really, you know, with the school, the field house. We have a great opportunity to really move Norton forward, and I think this is, you know, that's the only reason I want to have that discussion is because if we can move Norton forward, we have an opportunity to really.
But what do you mean by move Norton? What do you opportunity to do?
I'm talking about the
what?
Whole town. We have an opportunity to work with the city and the town to move us forward. I feel like a lot of the surrounding communities have kind of left us a little bit. When you look at the other communities, they moved forward. And we're kind of, we haven't, you know, I talk to friends who come back to Norton. I graduated in high school in 1989. They're like, yeah, it hasn't changed much. You guys got a McDonald's, you got, you know. That came in 85 or something, but we really haven't grown, and we have a good opportunity to grow with Norton. And with growth comes tax base, business. It's just a good opportunity, and I think that's why I keep pushing the big visual of what we want Norton to look like down the road. And
to
we
sell
have
the
we
property?
Have a pardon me
to sell the property. Is that what you're thinking?
To help Norton grow.
I know that's not a responsibility though. I mean, we cannot as a school system make decisions based on helping Norton grow.
I disagree. When you look at cities who are successful, the school works with the city.
I get that, but
and
our
that's
first
why,
primary
that's,
concern is our students.
Why do you think other school districts have more money than Norton?
Well, let's stick with operations
because they
for
have
now.
More business.
Because
yeah.
Okay, so we have an opportunity to help the business grow.
Move away.
Well, let me just finish because we did talk about this in operations. So
right, that's fine.
We talked about the bus garage. We talked about obviously the building transitions. We talked about how that was staying on target. And you talked about the boxes that everybody will have a sufficient amount of boxes to move, and those will be properly moved. And if they needed additional boxes, that they will have those. There was a number of things that we talked about, but I just wanted to bring that up. But it stood out to me, and Paul did say that he has the three best mechanics that he could ask for, and he started in that area. As a mechanic, and he did state that he has the three best mechanics and he wants a facility for them. So, and he talked about working with Barberton, and that was all positive. So there was a lot of positive as well.
In our current, working with Barberton currently, the way that we did it.
Yeah. The situation that
we have a very good relationship with Barberton and working with their buses and transportation. You know, in my not quite a year and a half here, I think that's one of the best shared services I've seen. I've been in shared services before, and this runs very smoothly. I haven't had one negative situation where Barberton's called, why aren't you fixing our buses? Right. Now. And it's really, the guys are employed jointly, but the supervisors have both worked together well. It's a very good situation.
Yeah, so there was a lot of a good thing. And Stephanie and Dave, you were both there. Do you have anything to add with the operations meeting?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right. Item 6, superintendent's reports.
I have nothing additional.
Anybody else have anything to add?
I have something I'd like to add. Okay. I did talk to some teachers, and last meeting I talked about pride, spirit, and teamwork. And I spoke with some teachers, and I asked them, you know, I think that Fridays, and I, you know, we should make a Norton Day. And they said that sometimes, you know, Shaner will have a thing where everyone wears school spirit, but I think I like that idea. And I think that, like I said, I think that Cindy said at one point we don't promote ourselves or something. I remember you said one time enough. So I think that'd be something we should really look into, or maybe even do, is every Friday have a Norton Pride Spirit Team Day, where obviously encourage everyone to wear red, black, white.
Don't you have pep rally on Friday? Or
not always. There are times when we do, but it's not.
We have different themes. What was the last?
Camo Friday days. Was pink.
Blackout.
Black.
That's the kids.
It helps do that.
Yeah, I like that. I like that idea. I think
every building does it on Friday.
I talked to teachers. They said it's kind of hit and miss. That's what they said. But if not, I think it should be something that should be encouraged. The other thing is, too, is for some reason, there's been this, and I've had people come up to ask me, like, what are Norton's colors, you know? Red and white, or red, and it's just, to me, it's red, black, red with black or white, or red, black, and white. And there's kind of like a thing where I was at the, I bought a new Norton shirt at the game, and the one guy said, oh, everyone's saying, what are Norton's colors? And I'm like, well, I think it's, what is it, Lewis? You tell me, what are Norton's colors?
It's the only time I sang at a board meeting. And I'm not going to sing it again, but
I know
we're all water with our white and red. But
the Panthers,
black was added.
That's right.
Yeah, because
the Panthers
black.
Well, so,
you know, I mean, it's.
I mean, I just think that, I mean, I know it's a crazy thing, but I mean, it seems like I always felt it was red, black, and white, or red, white, and black. But it's the three colors. It's not red and white was never.
Officially, it's red and white.
When I was in high school, it was red and white, period. And by the time you came through,
and
it was
that was
black
and the I only knew that because of
I know the alma mater.
I'm saying I only knew that because of the Letterman's jackets, because girls were white and boys were red. So those were the two.
So you were saying
I may not be that way anymore, but I'm just saying I'm aging myself.
No. But I thought I didn't know.
Look at graduation in the gown colors.
Yeah.
Just remember that.
Well, look at the Panther.
Well, I've never seen a red panther.
That's right.
You know. Never seen
a I just thought it was kind of, I mean, I didn't realize that was getting to be, I mean, I had a couple, I'm like, I thought
those are, I thought that was, yeah.
It's just like, you know.
All right.
Well, I don't know.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
So
moved. Call the roll, please.
So we're official, it's red. No.
Wait a minute, where am I? Mr. Knight.
Yes.
Mr. Sam.
Yes.
Mr. Yule.
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell.
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.